The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello there, welcome along to Saturday's Racing Podcast. My name is Alex Dunn, and today in the company of Lord John Budden, we're going to be looking ahead to the King George, amongst other things, at Ascot. We'll be looking at another race from Ascot as well as one at York. And that just leaves me to say, good morning, John Budden.
Good morning to you, Alex. Very great racing on Saturday, all over the country, but particularly at Ascot.
It really is. The King George is something that, certainly on the podcast this week, we've been looking forward to, and obviously took a slight turn for the worse, shall we say, with St Nicholas Abbey's defection. Obviously, for the race, certainly makes it slightly more of an obvious chance, shall we say, for Cyrus de Zegler. But firstly, it is just a shame, isn't it, about St Nicholas Abbey?
Very disappointing indeed, Alex, yes. A lovely horse and a proven horse at Ascot and in Group 1 contests and, you know, would definitely have been hard to beat, certainly to keep out of the frame. Let's hope they can save him for stud.
Certainly, fingers crossed. That wasn't great news, obviously, for the O'Brien camp. Another piece of bad news for them came yesterday as a horse that ran well for them in the Derby, didn't he, Mars? Was a very short price to land the odds at Leopardstown and was beaten. And it's just another hit, really, for the Derby for him, isn't it, John?
It certainly is, Alex. And for Alex, for Aidan O'Brien's runners in that race in particular. Yeah, no real excuses at all. And we've had Battle of Marengo beaten, Ruler of the World, horribly beaten, in my view, in Ireland. So it's been a pretty grim sort of post-Epsom for the O'Brien team.
No, it certainly has. Jim Bolger's Sintalula, it was, who won in game fashion in the Meld Stakes at Leopardstown yesterday, beating Mars fair and square, and the Derby form continues to take knocks. We will look ahead now to Saturday's action. We're not going to waffle on anymore. We're just going to get straight to it. It is the King George and Queen Elizabeth Stakes, the British Champion Series Group 1 over a mile and a half. 8 runners are down to go to post, and William Hill priced the race up like this. We've got Cyrus de Zegler, the 6-4 market leader, Novelist at 4-1, Trading Leather 9-2, Hill Star at 13-2, Ector Harm at 8, Universal at 14s, Very Nice Name at 16-1, and Red Cuddo at 33s. Take it away, Lord Budden.
Yeah, I'd just like to say one thing about the King George. You know, this is the most exciting race of the summer, in my view. Has been for a very long time. You've just got to look back and think of the fantastic horses that have competed at Ascot in this contest. I mean, I'm old enough to remember Grundy and Bustino. But, you know, Dahlia Shergar won in 1981. And we were just talking about Derby form not being up to scratch this particular season. But a lot of really tremendous Derby winners have gone on to win the King George, a Reference Point, for example, and other great horses like Nashwan and Reference Point, another Derby winner. The last Derby winner to actually take this race, Alex, was Galileo around about 12 years ago. But since then, you know, the only one who seriously disappointed was Workforce, and then good winners like New Approach and Authorised weren't able to run it because of setbacks. So, you know, it really remains a tremendous race, and I think despite the O'Brien absence, we've still got a really thrilling contest. And will Cyrus de Zegler show his quality? Are you a Christophe Soumillon supporter?
I think he's a very fine jockey. I mean, I spoke about this earlier in the week. I actually fancied St Nicholas Abbey, and that podcast went out the day before, obviously, the injury setback. In St Nicholas Abbey, in his absence, I should say, I think that the doors are open for Cyrus de Zegler. I mean, if we look back at the last few winners of the race, we've got Hurricane Run, Dylan Thomas, Duke of Marmalade, Conduit, Harbinger, Nathaniel and Daydream. They are all very, very high class. And of those in this field, I think Sirius Azalea is the only one that could sort of match up with those. What do you think?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned those horses, because that underlines the quality that the King George still retains. I think Sirius Azalea will be very hard to beat. I mean, his form behind Frankel, obviously, in the Champion Stakes last year was outstanding. And he's three times the group winner. He's got to improve, mind you, on his previous form this season, in my view, Alex. I mean, he was quite well beaten by Novelist at Saint-Cloud last time, and a lot of people said that he wasn't right for that, that perhaps he was targeted at the King George at Ascot, and that he would definitely improve. We see a sharper horse on the Ascot racecourse this afternoon, and I think that is probably true. He was fifth behind Novelist, but he has the class to turn that round. Now, Novelist is very interesting. Yeah. I mean, this is a German runner. They've got good records, the German stables, in really big races. And there's no reason why this horse shouldn't go very well indeed. Won the Grand Prix de Saint-Cloud in very, very decent fashion. Italian Derby winner last year. I think fourth in the German Derby. And he's being ridden by Johnny Murta. Actually, third choice. And there is a bit of a link here in the moment about riding plans. But Johnny Murta, four times a King George winner, 101 Group 1 races to his tally. He is in tremendous form. And there are a lot of people who believe that Novelist is the one that Sirius Desaigle has got to be most worried about. The link I just mentioned is Ryan Moore. Because, of course, Ryan Moore was on board Novelist at Saint-Cloud. And he is on board Hillstar for boss Sir Michael Stout. The question is, did he say to the boss after he had ridden at Saint-Cloud, now look, Hillstar will be good enough to beat this horse? That is a question sort of link, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if he didn't say so. Now, what about three-year-olds in this race, Alex? Are you a three-year-old supporter?
Let's have a look. We've got three-year-olds. Since 2001, we've had three three-year-old victories, Galileo, Alam Shah and Nathaniel. So the race doesn't lend itself to them, but I think certainly if they're good enough, I couldn't put anyone off backing the 2 3-year-olds in the race this year. They are the aforementioned Hillstar and Jim Bolger's Trading Leather.
Yeah, well, I'm a bit keen on the three-year-olds this year. I think, you know, that £12 allowance is interesting. If you go back over the records just a little bit further, there was a splurge of three-year-old winners at the end or the middle to the end of the 70s and also to the middle to the end of the 90s. And you've mentioned three since the turn of the millennium. There'd been a great deal of criticism about the Derby's form, as we've mentioned already. And the one horse you can't possibly argue against is Trading Leather. Mm. Now, Trading Leather is as tough as old boots, dare I say it. You know, I thought he was really impressive in the Irish Derby. Now, apparently the time was really good. I hate to say it, I'm not a great time fraction man, but I'm told that the time was actually good. Certainly the style of the victory was very impressive. And this horse seems to be improving all the time. The Bolger camp, well, you can hardly beat any horse coming out of their stable at the moment. So I do think that Trading Leather is a very serious contender. But I'm going for the other three-year-old. I think Hillstar is the most interesting horse in this race, Alex. I've beaten a couple of times in fairly competitive handicaps early on. Obviously not at that stage considered a Group 1 contender. But my goodness me, his performance in the King Edward VII at Royal Ascot, I thought was scintillating. Ryan Moore at the back of the field, apparently, you know, not really concerned with getting Hillstar into the finish coming out of Swinley Bottom, but once into the straight, absolutely changed gear, swept down the outside and disposed of Battle of Marengo in a couple of strides. I thought it was very, very impressive, and I said to myself then, I think it could well be this horse will be supplemented for the King George. Has been. Sir Michael Stout, you know, is looking for his sixth winner, I think, in this contest. If he gets it, he will be the most winning trainer of the King George in all time. And he's got a tremendous record in it. You know, he saddled Golan to win this race as a debutant. And he saddled the first three in 2009. I think he knows exactly what he's doing with Hillstar and with Ryan Moore in the saddle. I think 13-2 is a very decent price.
Okay, then 13-2. Obviously, if we can keep all eight runners, then 13-2 looks a very attractive each way bet. So, just running through the betting once more, though. Sirius de Zegla 6-4, Novelist 4-1, Trading Leather 9-2, Hillstar 13-2, Ector Harm at 8, and 14s or bigger the rest. Hillstar is the pick for John Budden in the King George. A lot of different angles into that race. You could go for the inform yards, such as Trading Leather with Jim Bolger. I mean, even Universal at 14s with Mark Johnston, who can't seem to do much wrong at the minute. We've got Ector Harm, who was so unfortunate at the Royal Meeting, who slipped up. There are a lot of angles into the race, but Hillstar is the pick. The next race that we're going to look at then is the 3:15 from Ascot. It is the International Stakes, a heritage handicap over 7 furlongs. And just the 29 are down to go to post, so this should be pretty easy for you, John. I get the impression we should start at the top of the weights with one of your favourite horses, Jim Goldie's Hawkeye the New.
Yeah, must have great chance, despite the weight, Hawkeye the New. Drawn 18, which means that he'll probably come nicely down the stand side at the end of the race. I haven't looked to see what top weights his record in this contest is, Alex, but Hawkeye the New is one of several horses who loves Ascot. He has run, you know, a series of really good races every time he's been to Ascot. And not all of them sprint distances over 5 or 6. Remember, this is a horse who's won the Victoria Cup over 7 furlongs. And he certainly, this season, has been staying on really strongly. I don't think his form can seriously be faulted this particular campaign. He's yet to win Hawkeye the New, but he ran an excellent placed effort in the Duke of York. He wasn't far behind Lethal Force in the Diamond Jubilee, and most recently over 7 furlongs at Newmarket, Jamie Spencer in the saddle on that occasion. He was a decent fifth. Now, I excuse that particular race for Hawkeye the New because he's never really run his best races at Newmarket to begin with, and secondly, it was a small field. Now, Hawkeye the New is a horse who has to be held up. Graham Lead rides him absolutely perfectly in a big field on a sown surface, and he'll come scorching through at the end. See, he's got a lot of weight to do, but he's got to be considered, Alex, in this race, Hawkeye the New, very seriously.
Certainly does. We've got a few last-time-out winners. Prince of Johanna won a competitive race at Sandown. Field of Dream landed the Bunbury Cup, and Field of Dream also won this race last year. Both of them arrive here with a penalty to carry. But again, you couldn't really rule them out, could you?
No, you couldn't rule them out. I'm delighted to see Prince of Johan back in form. This was a Hunt Cup winner last year, and I thought his performance at Sandown was, you know, really exciting for Tom Tate, who'd had a very thin period of time this summer up to that win. Since then, the stable has scored again with a useful stare called Eagle Rock. So it looks as though Tom Tate has got his horses back in trim. Prince of Johan loves Ascot like Hawkeye the New and cannot be, you know, completely discounted. And obviously the same for Field of Dreams. Mm. Won the Bunbury Cup in very good style indeed. A whole line, a roll call of extremely creditable performances at Ascot. Got a penalty. Just conceivably, Field of Dreams, in my view, has perhaps run rather too many times to pick up another real pot here.
Okay, that's pretty sound logic. We've got Glenmoss, Ashard and Galician, who, by the way, also, they all three of those carry penalties for their wins last time out. So we've got a few informed types here. Another one that won last time out, much to my annoyance, was Lightning Cloud, who won at Ascot, a horse that I've followed all year. And Mel, who works on trackside with me, I advised her to back that at Ascot at 25-1. She did, I didn't, and of course it won. But again, a consistent horse maybe goes better at Ascot, does have course and distance form.
Very much so. It used to go well in ladies' races too at Ascot, and I thought one with authority for Kevin Ryan. The stable in very good shape. I would not put anyone off backing Lightning Cloud. He likes the course and seems to be in very good shape. There are a number of others you could mention here, Alex, with excellent recent form. For Esca Love, for example, close up in the Bunbury Cup, close up in a very valuable race at Newmarket, more or less at the same time, at the top of his form. Mark Johnson's horse is in great shape. We didn't really mention Universal enough in the King George. It would be great to see Joe Fanning winning a King George, but we can't go back over that particular contest. Esca Love could go very well, I thought. A number of northern trained horses in the race, apart from Hawkeye the New. Dandy Nichols's team, are running into quite a bit of form at the moment. And you have to say that Don't Call Me has got perfectly sound form. A very decent fourth in the Hunt Cup, for example, has been consistent throughout this season, Don't Call Me. And this is a kind of race that in past years, Dandy Nichols would have been considered to be a major trainer to look out for. So Don't Call Me definitely comes into the contest. And so does a non-Northern horse. And I do think Redvers has got a major chance, Alex, in this contest. Redvers trained by Ed Vaughan, Richard Hughes in the saddle. Just the sort of race that Richard Hughes will pull out of the bag. And if you look at Redvers' form, it is copper-bottomed, as they say. Won the ladies' race, in fact, at this corresponding meeting last season, and has quietly been running into form. Very good run in the Bunbury Cup. Excellent run here at Ascot before that. I think Redvers and Richard Hughes have got a major chance. So it's wide open. But I certainly couldn't miss out Hawkeye the New. I shall be supporting Hawkeye the New myself with loyalty and with a certain amount of few pennies from the pocket. I'd love to see him swoop late and fast. So Hawkeye the New and Redvers would be my two in this exciting race.
OK then, John. And if I had to take two in this, I think I'd take Hawkeye the New as well. And I'd probably take SK Love, although I'd be very wary of its chances of winning. Runs incredibly well, but just can't seem to get its head in front. But an admirable horse for the Johnston team. The last race that we're going to look at, we're going to move to York for the York Stakes, a Group 2 contest over a mile and two furlongs. Six are down to go to post, and Mukadram is the very short-priced favourite, although, I mean, up against some good horses, horses that on official ratings certainly shouldn't really be posing that much of a problem. But we've got horses like the Apache, who comes from South Africa, Sri Putra and Wigmore Hall, who obviously are very, very consistent performers.
Yeah, interesting to see the Apache running in what is, really quite a high-class race in this country. And I'm not a great supporter of Tree Peak, and, runs well. And, of course, when I don't expect him, he goes and wins. But there we are. For me, and the reason why I have taken this race, you've got to say that Mukadram ought to be the banker of the day's racing. And I'd like to see this horse win, because I think he's been desperately unlucky not to have picked up a really big prize this season. I mean, you could say that the Brigadier Gerard was a big prize earlier in the year at Sandown. It personally is a substantial prize, and in days gone past would have been considered a really top prize in itself. But he ran tremendously well at Royal Ascot, I thought. Made Al-Kazim pull out all the stops, and James Doyle just got there in the closing strides. Now, that was a fantastic run. And then followed by an equally, not quite rewarding, but exciting run in the Eclipse, and, was basically knocked out of contention. Moral second would have made Al-Kazim go all the way in the last half furlong if he hadn't been interfered with. Accidental interference, in my view, as the rule stands at the moment. There was no reason why Mukadram should have got the verdict or been promoted. It was just darn bad luck, Alex. And I think the fact that Paul Hannigan has decided to avoid Ektiham and the King George and come up to York for this mount has to be significant. I respect Grandeur, I respect the Apache, I respect Wigmore Hall. That would be my danger. Interesting little booking from a moment. might talk about that in a second. But surely, if he runs up to form, some people will say he's had three really quick, hardish races, but William Haggas is a superb trainer, and I'm quite certain he knows the Bukhadram is on top form still. So I should be, you know, particularly upset if this horse does not win. Interesting to see Wigmore Hall running, likes running at York. William Tristan Davis, I think, is quite a sage booking for Michael Bell. And if Mukhadram, for some reason or other, does not repeat Ascot form, I will be with Wigmore Hall.
OK, we'll just go through the betting there. We've got Mukhadram at 4-7, the Apache 5-1, Grandeur 13-2, Wigmore Hall at 10s, Sri Putra at 14-1. And King George River at 16s. Mukhadram, of course, ran so close the last twice to Al Kazim. Surely if Al Kazim was in this, he wouldn't be 4-7, would he, John?
He'd
be
no, he wouldn't.
A lot shorter.
He would. Yeah, it's not before to 7. I mentioned Sri Pekan at the beginning of the York race. It is, of course, Sri Putra.
It is.
But that is an unlucky horse for me, you see.
No, I
really do hope Paul Hannigan, who incidentally is riding in great form, and it was loved to see him at Musselburgh earlier in the week when he presented all the prizes to a whole series of pony riders. I thought that was a particularly graceful gesture by Paul Hannigan. Came out of the weighing room and stood on the rostrum for something like 15 minutes handing out bouquets and rosettes and trophies to, you know, little children from the age of about 10 through to 14.
No, certainly a lovely gesture from Paul Hannigan. And Mukhadram, his mount is John's pick in the York Stakes with Wigmore Hall, the one to give him most to do. Wigmore Hall is a horse that I'm interested in here as well. Willie Twiston Davies takes the ride there. OK then, John, could you just sum up your three picks in the three races that we have just previewed there?
Well, in the King George, I'm a Hill Star man for Sir Michael Stout, six winner for him, hopefully, in this really big race. Very exciting. Just before that, the International. Hawkeye the New and Redvers, my two against the field. And I shall be, you know, bitterly upset if Mukhadram does not win at York.
Great stuff, John. Good luck with those picks.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.